York City to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, yes, here we are. Number two. Welcome to the big radio show on this Friday, the 13th of April, 2018. I knew what month it was. Don't give me a hard time. I'm just reading Donald Trump's tweet just came out moments ago. DOJ just issued the McCabe report, which is a total disaster. He lied. Yep. McCabe was totally controlled by Comey. McCabe is Comey. No collusion, all made up by this den of thieves and lowlifes. That's just out from the president. So this, yes, the fact that the Inspector General's report about Andrew McCabe coming out and saying that he basically lied on multiple occasions and that he was right there arm in arm with Jim Comey is just one more nail in the coffin on Comey's credibility. This is the problem, is that people go, well, you shouldn't be talking bad about the FBI. I agree with you. The FBI is a great organization with dedicated public servants. But the management has been more than questionable. And it would not be the first law enforcement organization in the country to have bad people at the top. There have been a number of police departments that have been corrupt, and the corruption comes from the head. I'm telling you, it starts at the top and works its way down. Now, I'm not saying that Comey's corrupt. I'm just saying that I think he let his political biases get in the way of making decisions. Everybody has biases. Everybody does. But if you are instrumental in the direction of how law enforcement is operating, whether you're the chief of police in your city or you're the head of the FBI, man, you have to guard against that. You have to guard against that in a big way. And I don't say that it's easy, especially when you are the head of the FBI, headquartered in none other than Washington, D.C., where everything is political. So when you look at the leadership of the FBI and you look for the word integrity, it's very, very difficult. You can still have great respect for the men and women of the FBI, but you don't have to look at James Comey or Andrew McCabe or Peter Strzok or Lisa Page, none of them, and have any respect for their credibility. Their credibility is in question. Whether it's legitimately in question or not is to be determined. But I think it's certainly worthy to question their integrity. So this is, according to the IG report, the day after the Wall Street Journal, Andrew McCabe actually called the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney's Office to blame them for the media leak that he specifically created. So not only did he leak, but he blamed the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York City. Huh. So Andrew McCabe has, shall we say, some integrity problems. And he worked arm in arm with James Comey. All right, let's move on. There's not widely reported today, but it came out earlier today, and it came out of nowhere, was that the president has given a full pardon to Scooter Libby. And I know, people make fun of his name. I don't know how he got his name Scooter, but his real name is Lewis Libby. He was an assistant to Vice President Cheney. And today, Donald Trump gave his second pardon, a full pardon, to Scooter Libby, who got caught up in the investigation into the leak of the identity of CIA officer Valerie Plame. President said in a statement, "I don't know Mr. Libby, but for years I have heard that he has been treated unfairly. Hopefully this full pardon will help rectify a very sad portion of his life." Let me go back and give you a little history lesson on the Valerie Plame affair. But before we go there, think about what this story does. Think about this story. By giving this full pardon to Scooter Libby, which I fully agree with, absolutely agree with, this is more than a shot across the bow. This is a shot against special prosecutors, because what came out in 2015, long after George W. Bush had not given him a full pardon, had commuted his sentence, but he still had a felony on his record, and he still had to pay a $250,000 fine. And George Bush at the time said, look, this is, I think he's had a fair hearing, and as much as I like the guy and all that, he's had his day in court, and so I will commute his sentence so he doesn't have to go to jail for a long time, but he doesn't have to pay a fine. He does have to pay the fine. He will have this felony on his record. After George W. Bush was out of office, the information came out in 2015 by Judith Miller, and I know Judith very, very well. She was a former reporter for the New York Times. She actually went to jail for about a month, I believe it was, maybe 2 months, to protect some of her sources. But she wrote a book called The Story, A Reporter's Journey. Came out a few years ago. And in that book, she exposed unscrupulous conduct by the special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald in the trial of Scooter Libby. Judith went to jail. She is a hardcore journalist. She worked for the New York Times. You'll see her on Fox News on a regular basis. She's a contributor. And she says that the special prosecutor induced her to give what she now realizes was false testimony by withholding critical information. And she felt her inaccurate testimony helped the special prosecutor persuade a Washington, D.C. jury to find Scooter Libby guilty of obstruction of justice and making a false statement and perjury. Yeah, they got him for lying, which it turned out wasn't true. And that is why Donald Trump gave him a full pardon. And I will bet you that George W. Bush also now wishes that he had given him a full pardon. But Judith is a serious woman. She doesn't go around accusing special prosecutors of withholding critical information and basically inducing her to give what she now says it was false testimony. But this is a message. Hello, special prosecutors out there. Hello, hello. Anybody out there that's a special prosecutor? Oh, yes. There is that one, isn't there? And a special prosecutor by the name of Patrick Fitzgerald pulled what I consider to be illegal by prosecutorial misconduct by withholding critical information. Prosecutors can't do that. They are not allowed to do that, but he did it. And so it makes you say, well, are special prosecutors, are they honorable? Will they follow the letter of the law? Will they do the right thing? Well, Patrick Fitzgerald did not. He pulled a fast one to get a conviction. So it's, number one, a shot across the bow of Bob Mueller. Number two, it is a shot across the bow for anybody and everybody that is being swept up in the Mueller investigation. This president gives pardons. And if he thinks that you have been mistreated, there's a chance that you might get a pardon. The president said, I have heard for years that he has been treated unfairly. So he gives him a pardon. So special prosecutors, Bob Mueller, people who are being swept up in the Mueller investigation, I think this is a huge message from the president, and Mueller's got to be sitting there going, we better be careful, and we better maybe wrap this up, and I don't know what he's thinking. But I think it's a pretty important story. Valerie Plame was working for the CIA. There was big debate about whether or not she was covert. At one time she had been, but the story eventually came out that she was no longer covert, and everybody and their brother, all her neighbors, people she worked with, people she went to the grocery store, they all knew she worked for the CIA. Her husband, Joseph Wilson, was a former diplomat and was given the job to go down to Niger to find out whether or not they had sold yellow cake, which was important to make uranium, to Saddam Hussein. He goes there and he says, I don't think that happened. And he wrote a blistering op-ed in the New York Times saying that that whole mission, the checkout transactions in Iraq, he doubted that anything was actually done. So Robert Novak, the late Robert Novak, published an article claiming that two senior administration officials, that Plame was the one to suggest sending her husband, and the actual leak of her name did not come from Scooter Libby. It came from Richard Armitage. And so it led to a big criminal investigation. Scooter Libby was caught up in lying. Richard Armitage was never prosecuted for anything. So Libby got caught up in it. He never did anything wrong. And the special prosecutor manipulated the witnesses to get false testimony. How do you think that plays with Bob Mueller? Phone number is 855-295-6600. Short break. We will be right back.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So, a big pardon today for Scooter Libby. It seems like it came out of nowhere, but I think this, there's no question in my mind. Coincidences don't happen. There's no such thing as a coincidence. Yeah, you look at the facts and you go, well, let's see, is there a special prosecutor working right now? Yep. Is there a big investigation by a special prosecutor? Yep. Are there people that are being swept up in the special prosecutor? Yep. So, all of this is a message from the president's office to all of that. People that are being swept up, to Mueller, you name it. At least my humble opinion. Phone number is 855-295-6600. John, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Thanks, Tom. This is kind of getting to be a broken record that nobody seems to remember when it comes to special prosecutors. And especially with Robert Mueller, because he keeps bringing Andrew Weissman to be his spearheaded guy. And the guy has had so many convictions overturned by making up crimes and abusing witnesses that, I mean, nobody remembers that all of the Enron guys that got convicted had their convictions overturned.
No, not all of them. Well, one died and the other one, but yeah, I mean, it's... They went to jail for a while, but you're right. Eventually, there was a different story that came out.
And, I mean, if you just Google it, folks, because it's Mueller brought Weissman on to be his lead guy. This is the guy that has his reputation is for going after people, and then later on, they get overturned because he gets them to commit or to admit to crimes that, A, they didn't commit, or, B, don't exist.
Right. Well, it's here's
the court judge looked at the looked at the witness and said, you realize you're pleading guilty to a crime that doesn't exist.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the nice way that they report it is that Andrew Weissman is an aggressive prosecutor, which, okay, I want criminals to be aggressively prosecuted. But the problem with being an aggressive prosecutor is you've got to dot the I's and cross the T's. You got to make sure and follow everything that you're supposed to do as a prosecutor and not withhold information that you have that would help the defendant. You are required to disclose that. Prosecutorial misconduct is not that uncommon. I mean, I don't want to say it is common, but it's been around in lots of different cases. And Weissman went after Arthur Andersen and put them out of business, which I, at the time, scratched my head about because they were the accountants for Enron. I think that was a total setup and was absolutely a travesty that he ruined the entire company and put him out of business. Arthur Andersen was one of the more premier accounting firms in the nation. So yes, he's a sharp tooth lawyer, but
the Supreme Court overturned the Arthur Andersen conviction by a 9-0 vote.
Long after they were out of business and gone, and they couldn't put it back together again.
That's the point. And why is Mueller bringing this guy? Because he wants a conviction. He wants to do the damage. He doesn't care about justice. He doesn't care about the law. He wants to do the damage. And then later on down the road, if it gets overturned, big deal. We've already ruined the guy. Yeah. We've already ruined the company.
That case, by the way, went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled against Weissman. But
9-0 in 2005.
But Arthur Andersen was dead. They were already dead and gone. So
exactly.
So you want a good prosecutor. I want a prosecutor that's going to go after criminals. But you said it well. You know, they've got to be able to lift their head up from just, I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to I need a guilty plea. I got to get a guilty plea because it's in my, on my scorecard of how many wins and losses I have. I've got to have more wins. I think there's too many prosecutors that do think that way. Doesn't matter what the facts are. I've got to win this case. So,
but it's getting to the point where it's becoming political. The Justice Department is not supposed to be political.
Justice, that's the problem.
Political.
I think that is, no matter who you are, if you are the head of the FBI or the DOJ in Washington, D.C., trying to put that wall up between you and politics, you have to work at it. You really have to work at it because everybody has their biases. John, good call. Thank you.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Yes, I do. This whole business about special prosecutors is kind of fascinating anyway. Molly Ball, she is a writer for Time Magazine, and her reaction to this pardon today, she says it was unexpected and odd for the president to pardon Scooter Libby.
This sort of came out of nowhere. It was an unexpected thing to do, and so it is certainly possible that this is sort of a flourish by the president saying, look at me, I'm the president, I can pardon people. But there may be other things behind it. This isn't something that the president had seemed engaged with before, and he's said so many negative things about the Bush administration in particular, that to be doing something nice for a Bush administration figure who was caught up in one of the sort of signature scandals there is also a very interesting move.
Yeah, but the thing is that when George W. Bush stepped out of the White House, nobody knew about the Judith Miller exposure to Patrick Fitzgerald, that he withheld information and basically did prosecutorial misconduct. So I think George Bush would have given a pardon if he knew that information when he was still in the White House. 855-295-6600. Judy, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm really happy to be able to talk to you.
Thank you.
Judith Miller is a hero, as far as I'm concerned. She's a dynamic reporter. She does a lot of homework. She's not afraid to tell the truth. Unfortunately, they're not all that way. Sometimes the things that are coming out of their mouths are just phenomenally crazy.
It doesn't mean
that we're not going through a bunch of phenomenal crazy stuff right now, but every once in a while, you have to use your own brain.
Judith is probably one of the most serious journalists I've ever met. Ever.
Me too. You're right.
She is all business. I like her a lot, but she is...
yes, me too.
She's very, very serious about this. And so I'm glad that she not only kept her sources, went to jail, but then she's standing up to the special prosecutor. And she did that in her book, which did not come out until after Bush was out of office. But I think this was the right thing to do. I presume Scooter's going to get his $250,000 back, and he'll have his record be expunged of the felony conviction. So, good for her. You know, stand up and say the truth. And unfortunately, that's hard to do sometimes. But, I like her a lot.
You and the gentleman caller, I agree with you and the gentleman caller from before about special prosecutors. They're making me crazy because, you know, I'm just a typical retiree. I am minding my own business, and I watch two or three news programs during the day. I won't even watch the news programs on NAD, is what I call it, NBC, ABC, and CBS. Because they don't report the news. They report what the Democratic Party wants them to report.
Well,
for the good of it, the bad of it, or the ugly. But there are a lot of people out here who appreciate the things that Mr. Trump has done in the office. I'm an older woman. If you'll excuse me just for a moment... I don't care how many lovers he's had. I don't care. I don't even care about the type of relationship it was. I don't care. At what point do you look at a guy who just gave you a tax cut and some of the other things that he's done have just been things I never dreamed that the government would ever be allowed to do?
I will tell you what the beef is, and I think the beef is a legitimate one. You didn't vote for him to be your husband. You didn't vote for him to be your pastor.
Right.
I get all that. The beef is that the right went nuts about Bill Clinton, and now they're doing exactly what the Democrats were doing, defending Bill Clinton. The left was defending him. Now the right is defending Donald Trump. It looks hypocritical. But I think that you are expressing what I think most people in this country feel, which is I don't doubt Stormy Daniels' story one bit, but I don't care.
I don't either.
Yeah. Come on. You're not alone. But Judy, thank you. I do appreciate your call. I have a question for you. Judy brought it up about special prosecutors. I don't know if this is going to go anywhere. I was very surprised when I started digging around for show prep today about special prosecutors, how extensive it's been used. And people are talking about once Mueller is done and finished, and he, according to the rules, he is supposed to write a confidential report to the Attorney General. That's did you know that? That's the bottom line here with you know, along the way, he's convened two grand juries, and they may do some indictments. But his job as special prosecutor is to, special counsel, is to write a report to the attorney general. It's supposed to be confidential, according to the rules. But a lot of people are talking about the fact that maybe after Mueller's done, that Congress can't do anything. But it may be time to go back around and say, no more. No more special prosecutors. No more Bob Mueller's, Patrick Fitzgerald's, Ken Starr's. Let's stop this. That we have investigators. Now, I grant, investigating the FBI cannot investigate themselves. The DOJ cannot investigate themselves. I don't know how you would go about farming that out to somebody to investigate them. I know in local law enforcement, how many times have you seen where there's a police officer does something, whether it's a car wreck or they shoot somebody or whatever it might be, and they bring in the state police to do the investigation so that it is separate? And I don't know how you do that about the federal police and who investigates them. But the idea about, other than that, this business about getting special prosecutors to go out and try and find dirt on a president is, it sounds good on paper, but the problem is that they wander all over the map and they go down roads. And I, like I've told you before, I kind of am warning you, Donald Trump's done a lot of business with a lot of people, some of which are kind of nefarious characters, for many, many, many decades. Did he ever break a law somewhere in his 50 years of business? I don't know. Maybe. But that's the problem, is they will dig and dig and dig and dig. And now that they've got the personal lawyer's files to go back and say, well, let's see what problems they were having. Let's see if he committed any crimes back in 1973. So special prosecutors, I don't know if we're ever going to get rid of them. The reason I bring that up is that if you take a look at the history of them, the first one was appointed by Ulysses Grant in 1875 to investigate the whiskey ring. So guess what happened down the road? This guy, the special prosecutor, was a guy by the name of John Henderson. President Grant appointed him to investigate the whiskey ring scandal. He wound up later on down the road firing the special prosecutor. And if you Google firing special prosecutors, you'll find that people have been going, is Donald Trump going to fire the special prosecutor? They've been doing this for at least a year. I don't know if he will. But they've been around for a long time, and a lot of them have been fired.
Unpredictable, unprecedented, undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
So special prosecutors go all the way back to Ulysses S. Grant. And there's been others that have come along. There was Harry Truman had one. He wound up firing that guy. There's been a bunch of them. Roughly 20 special prosecutors have come along. I'm going, unless it's the FBI or the DOJ, why don't we use the federal investigators that we have to investigate? Problem becomes, when you're talking about investigating a president, is you've got to figure out some way to have some sort of, and I this is where Mueller, I think, has made a very bad choice. I'm sure he's got some very smart people that he likes. And I know that the FBI's rules, everybody's PC now, says you can't ask anybody what their political party is. Well, if you're going to investigate politicians, I think you should, for the purpose of getting a balance. If you're going to hire 12 lawyers, get 6 Dems and 6 Republicans. But I'm thinking, just get rid of the whole special prosecutor office completely. Just outlaw it. Don't have it. It's nothing but that a bunch of them have gotten in trouble. Bunch of them have been fired. So if you think this is all new stuff about crying out about Mueller, it's apparently we're just repeating history. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Bo, welcome. Hi, Bo. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
How are you, sir?
Doing good.
I have to agree with you 100% on your last comment. Yes, we should be rid of it altogether. I think the Americans' focus right now is kind of misguided. I think a lot of people are trying to use the buzzword shot across the bow and, you know, why did Trump do this? Is this a warning to Mueller? And I think our focus shouldn't be on why Trump did this or, you know, is this a poke in the eye of Mueller. I think what most people should be looking at is how corrupt these special prosecutors can be and these units can be. It's awful and it makes a mockery of our justice system. And as you mentioned, many of them have been fired, and a lot of it is because of, you know, they're one-sided. This is the way for, I guess, you know, a corrupt government to use the power of our justice system to go after a particular person. And whenever that happens, we should know instinctively that that's not right. And what's been going on, I think, has been, you know, proven to, you know, at least show us as American people that this is dirty in some way. And well, that's where I think the American people's focus should be.
You go back to Harry Truman. Harry Truman, you know, you read about the guy. He seemed like he was, you know, he was a haberdasher. I mean, he wasn't a lawyer. He was a country man, a country retailer. People seem to have high regard for the fact that he was a straight shooter. You know, he had the buck stops here on his desk and all that. He fired his special prosecutor because the special prosecutor submitted a very lengthy questionnaire for all the senior executives in the White House to fill out. In other words, Truman said, "Where are you going? You want to find out all kinds of things that you have no business doing. We've hired you to look at one thing, and you want to go everywhere. Forget it. You're fired." He fired him because of it. He basically held the man's feet to the fire to do the investigation that he was hired to do. He didn't do it, so we fired him.
There you go. And I think that being said, sorry, motorcycle's going by. I think that being said, we should all instinctively know that these kind of things, I mean, I guess you would have to know your history, but just looking back on, you know, what's transpired in the last year with just the Mueller investigation and all these dead ends, if you will, you know, one thing leads to nothing and the other thing leads to nothing. And it's a constant thing we see in the media. And honestly, it's just going nowhere. And we know what its intent is. Its intent is to obviously find something to hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire.
Yeah.
And for him to fire Mueller at this point, you know, fine, do it. I don't care. Whatever Trump has in mind, I'm sure, you know, he's got it figured out, at least in his own head. But as for us sitting back as the American people, we need to be looking at the fact that look at how corrupt things have become in our justice system, that these kind of things can happen in the first place.
Well,
and I think that's where our focus needs to be, not whether or not Donald Trump was warning Mueller or not.
You know? I will semi-eat crow on this one, Bo, because I had the attitude last year, 6 months ago, of let Mueller's investigation go. He's got to find evidence, and if you fire him, it'll look like you're trying to cover up something you did wrong. So just let it go. But I've grown tired. I have now changed my position on Mueller because it by now, after a year, he should know, was there collusion? Was there somebody in the Trump campaign that was working with Russian spies, Kremlin people, to somehow doctor a mess with the election? He should know that.
Precisely. He should know now, and which is why he's going after things that aren't relevant. Which is why he's going after things like obstruction and the other thing. You know, he's digging into his attorney. You know, they raided their house. They're looking for just anything out there to find prosecutable to make it look like Donald Trump did something naughty. And I think that should be obvious to everyone. This looks dirty no matter how you look at it, Tom. It really is. I don't know how people don't see that. I really don't. Well, that's what disappoints me.
Put yourself in the shoes of somebody who is still apoplectic about the fact that Donald Trump won. They still can't get over it. They're still up. They can't breathe. So the problem for those people is that Mueller cannot indict the president. He can indict, you know, Michael Flynn and all these other Papadopoulos and all these people for lying. But he can't go out. He can't indict the president. So what he has to do is issue a report. Now, that's why, and I saw the Republicans are going to try and use this in the campaign. Come November, depends upon who. I said this yesterday. Whoever's in the control of the House, they're going to get a report. And they either will do something about it or they won't. Republicans won't do anything about it. The Democrats probably will start an impeachment process if Mueller comes out with something and says Trump was a bad guy. But it won't go anywhere because of the fact that the Senate, you have to have 67 votes in the Senate in order to convict somebody of an impeachment. So this is going to go nowhere. Trump is not going away. And I know a lot of people would like him to, but he's not going to. And Mueller can investigate till the cows come home, and he's not going to get rid of Donald Trump. As much as these people hate Trump, the reality is he's around for at least another 2.5 years, maybe 6.5 years. He's not going anywhere.
That I can agree with. Yes.
So it's kind of one of these deal with it sort of things, you know. Bo, thank you. I appreciate your call. Sometimes you got to look at, well, what's the bottom line here? What's the end result of all of this? And the result is a report. If Republicans are in charge, nothing happens. If Democrats are in charge, they may not even do an impeachment because they know it won't go anywhere. We'll be right back.